this week on the Time Bat Show.
Or like a large hairy creature with a very warm tongue is like licking you.
Yeah.
That's my analogy.
And you can't escape. And
you can't get away. The tongue is so big that you can't leave.
And it's everywhere. It's in your car. It's in your job. It's
in your job.
Yeah.
It's in your house.
It's in your house. In your
backyard. It's in the parking lot. You can't escape. You're not allowed. But my summer is fine. It's just really hot. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 43. I'm Time Aces.
And I am Bat Snacks.
We are your hosts today on this episode 43, on this 43rd episode of the Time Bat Show. I've never said it like that before.
That was the best intro we've ever done.
Was it?
And now you've ever done.
And now we
always do the intro.
And now we're ruining it by talking about it. That's really tacky.
That bears like pointing out.
Bears
and
repeating. See, yeah. I'm getting good at this. After 42 times, I'm like a pro. I feel like a radio DJ now.
Yeah.
Another thing.
I think after about 3 episodes, uh-huh. We learned that I should just never do the intro.
You've done a few times. Do you want to do your own intro really quick? Let's just do yours.
No, I really shouldn't.
No,
I'm just not good at it.
No, just do it really quick. We've already done the intro. Let's just see your intro. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 43. I'm Time Aces. Because that's how it goes.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
Thank you for joining us today on this very special episode number 43.
That was good. I mean, apart from being me and me being you, we should do an episode where we pretend to be each other.
We're reversed.
Yeah, do you want to do that this episode?
Where I pretend to be you?
Actually,
I might be pretty good at that.
Actually, that might be a little complicated. Let's just try it for a second. All right, go ahead.
I mean, I would kind of just do what I do anyway. I think we're similar enough that...
That what?
I don't think I could pretend to be you in a way that would be different than just doing what I do anyway.
Regular.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, fine. All right, scratch that. Sorry. That'll be like the 50th episode.
Actually, yes. Wait, do you know what I would do?
I mean,
the audience can't see this, but I would sip my drink like 5 times before I put it down.
That's a smart way to do it.
I can mimic your physical mannerisms mm-hmm. very well, but yeah. As far as like speech and thoughts, I think we're pretty similar in that.
Yeah,
in that
I mean, I think we both have a different cadence, right? I talk a little faster than you do. You have more of like a steadier, like way of speaking, which is better in reality in for a talk show, because a lot of times I talk over like faster than my brain processes. So
yeah, I mince words a lot too.
Well, I think I mince them more, but anyway beside the point, I think episode 50 we could like switch, but we won't talk about it on the show. We'll just launch into it. And you'll do the intro and say, I'm Time Aces. And I'll be like, I'm Bat Snacks. And then we'll go from there, you know?
Just go with it?
Yeah. And people that listen to this episode will know. But everyone else will just be like, what? They sound different than I'm used to or whatever. And that's how we're going to do it. So that's the plan.
It's a plan.
Episode 50. So look forward to that, everyone. So how's it going today? How's your life?
Life is good.
Anything exciting happen in the last week?
It's a pretty regular Thursday and a regular week for me.
Yeah, regular week. Any exciting things you did over the weekend?
I didn't see any movies. I said I was going to, but then I didn't have time, so...
I saw, like, a million movies. Like, I don't know how I've seen so many movies. Like, well, there's a lot of movies coming out, right?
Yeah.
So, like, last weekend I saw Planet of the Apes, the new one, War of the Planet of the Apes, and I also saw the new Spider-Man. And then the weekend before that I saw The Big Sick. So I've seen, like...
Okay.
3 movies in the past 2 weeks in theaters.
Nice.
And they were all really good.
I mean, you have a really good movie theater that you can go to.
I do.
So
I do.
If I had that, I would probably see 3 movies.
I do have the Alamo Drafthouse. and yeah. I'm kind of like really bad because like even if they're really bad movies playing, I'll be like, I kind of want to go to the movies just to go to the theater, you know, for the experience. Yeah. So I'll like even if the movies are really bad, I'll be like, yeah, I'll see Ghost in the Shell just because like I saw like the Scarlett Johansson Ghost in the Shell. I told you about that, right?
Yeah.
And I would never have saw that, but you know, there wasn't anything.
I didn't see that.
There wasn't anything playing and I wanted to go to the Alamo Drafthouse. So, you know, it is what it is. But they have good, food and stuff too. So I don't know. But, Planet of the Apes was really good. I really wanted to see that. So obviously I was going to see that. And then Spider-Man, like a friend from work wanted to see Spider-Man. So I like was like, oh, all right, sure, I'll see Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was surprisingly good. Like, I thought it was going to be really bad. I'm usually down on comic book movies pretty hard, but I thought it was solid. Like, it was really good. I would give it, like, 3.5 stars out of 5 stars.
So, before this movie, was the previous Spider-Man movie Spider-Man 3?
So they did Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 with Tobey, you know, the Tobes, which I, like, just love.
Like, yeah, those were good.
My wife hates them, but I love them. They're like, I love those movies. Except 3. I mean, it's not that good. But, I mean, it's still Tobey Maguire, so it's fine. But I love those. And then they made, like, The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Oh, that's right.
With, I don't even remember his name. But, like, nobody really saw them, and they weren't very good. And I think I saw, like, the first one on a plane or something. Like, so, you know, that's how you know the movie's really great, when you can see it for free on, like, Delta or whatever. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, they're forgettable. And then this new one is just with, like, a completely new kid. Like, he's the youngest Spider-Man they've ever had. You know, he's, like, you know, 16 or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's, like, classic, you know, early years Spider-Man, like when the comics first started, when he was like in high school, like it's that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good, surprisingly. I will quickly give you my review of the movie without spoiling anything. It focuses a lot on Spider-Man and Peter Parker and like that dynamic of being a superhero but also being a teenager, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Like balancing
which
life.
I really like that's my favorite part of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
like I think that what puts Spider-Man ahead of a lot of other superheroes, because he has to like balance life with being a superhero. So it does that really, really well, because he's like a kid and he's like, you know, has to like go to class and, you know, make a good grade.
So like he's not supporting himself yet with his reporting job.
No, he's in high school. He lives with his Aunt May still. So that I thought that aspect was like fantastic, like the way they have him and, you know, his life kind of intertwining all the time was awesome. And the cool part of the movie is, similar how Spider-Man 2 goes, like, his personal life and his, like, superhero life kind of collide in the middle of it, and it's like, whoa, this is really awesome, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, you know how that could happen, you know, he has to, like, try to make sure people he, like, cares for don't get wrapped up in, like, him being a superhero and stuff like that, so, like, that's a really cool part of the movie. So, like, that the fact that they did that was, like, probably the strongest bit of the movie. And, like, he plays a really good Spider-Man, too, I think. He's very, he's like, nerdy, but he's, like, really bubbly and outgoing and stuff, too. So, it's, like, it's a good balance, right? Mm-hmm. And then the villain is Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton plays the villain who, you know, used to be Batman in the old Batman movies, and he does a good, he's like probably the best part of the movie, to be honest.
What is the villain?
He's the Vulture.
Okay.
Which is a lesser known Spider-Man villain,
I don't know who the Vulture is, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but like he's just like a guy with a suit that has like wings, very similar to like the Green Goblin, I guess you could say, but like, you know, he has a vulture suit instead of a goblin suit, right? And he's like a...
Instead of an octopus suit.
Yeah, and he's like a weapons dealer or something.
Okay.
But he's a really grounded character. Like, he's a good villain because he has, like, good motivation. You can kind of feel for him, you know, like, oh, I can see why he's doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, he has good motivation, so he's, like, a really strong character. And he has really good scenes with Spider-Man. Like, they're really intense and, like, interesting. And It's unlike a lot of other superhero movies where the villains kind of throw away and you don't really ever get to know them. And the hero only really confronts them, like, by punching them instead of, like, talking with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have some cool, like, verbal confrontations, which are really interesting in the movie. So all that, like, super good. The bad part of the movie is it's made by Sony, but it, like, has all the Marvel crap in it. Like, the Marvelverse stuff. You know, like Iron Man is in the movie for some reason.
you got some Avengers in there?
Yeah, like you literally do. And it like doesn't make any I mean, I get why they do it, right? Because they're like, oh, it'll sell tickets if we put Iron Man in this movie. And like, yes, that's true. But it just feels really out of place and bad. And
so it's like Tony Stark is walking down the street and he just like winks at the camera. And
I
like
mean, not that on the nose, but like yeah. Effectively, yes. You know yeah. What I mean?
I mean, it's basically
so
that.
Tony Stark doesn't do that because Tony Stark is like they like weave him into the plot of the movie, which I didn't really care for. But like he's at least woven in. Captain America is literally the cameo you just said. Like he like I mean, not really walks down the street and winks, but it's basically that. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah. I'm Captain America. Hey, wink. And you're like, oh, my God, like, come on. So that aspect of the movie I didn't really care for. I thought it was really tacked on, and I felt like it kind of brought away from the feeling that the movie had. Like, it was a very grounded movie. You know, Spider-Man is, like, a kid, and he's also a superhero, and he has to just kind of deal with that on it, like, by himself and, like, figure out how to deal with that. And, like, the cool thing about Spider-Man 1, Tobey Maguire, right, is, like, his Uncle Ben dies and gives him that advice. Is like, you know, what is it? The famous line from Spider-Man 1.
Great power, great responsibility.
Great responsibility, exactly. Yeah. And, like Uncle Ben doesn't know he's Spider-Man, but Peter Parker uses that advice to, like, become a better Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, like, a cool... And so, like, in this movie, like, there's a lot of potential for that. But instead of, like, that, like, oh, I'm learning how to be a superhero by being a good person, he's like, I'm learning how to be a superhero by another superhero, which is, like, Tony Stark, which is, like, I felt like it was kind of dumb, and I think that was kind of a wasted opportunity with, like, Aunt May filling that role or something, or, like, life experiences filling that role, so.
That would have been probably cooler.
Yeah, so I just felt like...
I haven't seen it, but that sounds
I just felt like there was a little too much Marvel Cinematic Universe in the movie, and I felt like it could have done more to just like live in Peter Parker's shoes for a little bit and let him, you know, deal with all these things on his own. I think it would have been a more interesting film. But that being said, it's definitely worth seeing. It's a good movie. So should I keep reviewing movies? There's like two more that I saw. I feel like we're boring the viewers.
So Planet of the Apes, a lot of people are going to see that.
Planet of the Apes was good. Was very good, yes.
All right, what's the premise of the movie?
It's my second favorite of the new Planet of the Apes movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. So you've seen 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I good to spoil those? Well, the first one, apes, like, get intelligent. And then the second one, they, like, fight humans a little, right? And then the third one, they fight humans more, right? The premise is that Caesar, who's like the head ape or whatever, is like has his own village and his own like tribe, and there's like a battalion of humans that have like constantly kind of waged war on them for like a past like year or so, like trying to like exterminate them. And it's just like a movie about that. Some like big conflict happens at the beginning, and it like kind of makes the rest of the movie happen, if you will. And you know, talking about that anymore would completely spoil the plot because it's some surprising things happen, which are very cool. But I mean, suffice it to say, it's an interesting movie. It's good. It's very good. I think I like
that's good that it's good because I'm definitely
I think I like the second one better overall. I think I like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes a little better, but it's still really good. And it kind of closes off the the trilogy storyline, if you will. You know, like the apes and Caesar and all that stuff. It kind of like closes that out in like a nice way. So it's definitely worth seeing. So,
all right, you don't answer this because it'll spoil it. Mm-hmm. But does Caesar get assassinated?
What am I supposed to say to that? You said don't answer it. Should I just be quiet or something?
I don't know. That's my feeling.
I cannot confirm or deny if he gets assassinated.
That Caesar is or is not assassinated.
I can't confirm or deny that. So that was good. So see both those movies when you can. I would say.
Okay.
What else? I'm trying to think. I also saw a Scientology documentary yesterday, which is super weird. It was called My Scientology Movie by Louis Theroux.
And it's on Netflix.
So Netflix. I think you saw it. You said you saw it, right?
Yeah. I saw it when it first came out because I'm a big fan of Louis Theroux. I think he does really cool and funny documentaries usually. If you've seen Weird Weekends,
I have seen some of it. Yeah.
Yeah, Weird Weekends it's like a 12 episode little mini show where he just goes around and visits various American subcultures like salespeople and UFOs and muscle men and
gun stuff nuts like that. And yeah, cult people and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, and he's really funny. He has a great sense of humor, and he does well with. He kind of has a disarming personality, so yeah. I think people tend to like reveal a lot
like accidentally
him.
And be like, "Whoops!"
Yeah,
yeah.
He's just like this unassuming guy with
glasses. Yeah, he's unassuming, and also like he gets people to say stuff, but he's not like intimidating them. He's just like talking, and then they're like, "Well, blah blah blah," and they're like, "Whoops!" You know, it's like, "All right."
Yeah,
yeah. He's very unassuming, but like he can get people to say stuff, so it works.
My Scientology documentary, it wasn't, I mean, he didn't actually get into
church. I thought it was a little weird that, like, they didn't do that, but, like, at the same time, I get it, because Scientology's, like, super closed off, so.
Yeah, especially to people like him.
Like, they almost got arrested, like, a bunch of times in that movie.
Yeah.
I was like, "You're trespassing." I was like, "No, we're not, we're on the road." Yeah, it was scary. Yeah,
so, like,
wild.
Since he can't get in, he just goes out to hire actors to recreate testimony by ex-members. Yeah,
which is kind of nuts, but kind of fitting too. It was a good documentary.
Yeah, the main focus of the documentary is on the current leader, who is David Miscavige,
who is a crazy person.
Who is? I mean, if the movie is accurate, then he's totally insane.
Oh, I'm sure he's crazy. I don't have any. I don't doubt it.
Yeah, that was a lot of crazy.
That was a lot of crazy. He sounds like an insane man. The way he, like, rose to power is really sketchy, too, right?
So he started out as a kid that knew the original creator of Scientology, who is L. Ron Hubbard.
You know a lot about Scientology, for some reason.
I do. I love reading about Scientology, just in the same way that I like watching prison documentaries.
Yeah, like you're fascinated by the weird and craziness of it all.
Yeah. Like it's kind of a separate world that I'll never experience, but I like to hear about it.
But yeah, so like L. Ron Hubbard in like the 50s or 60s or whatever created this religion, and then as this kid that was like young and I guess grew up a Scientologist or whatever, like rose through the ranks, you know. And then, like, when he was in his 20s, I think, L. Ron Hubbard died, and he was randomly, like, selected as the new chief or whatever, right?
Yeah. His, Miscavige's father has written a biography/memoir about, like, raising him in Scientology and what happened and why he went crazy and...
Really?
Kind of the person he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've read that, and it's cool to read.
That's wild. Anyway, yeah. Scientology is frightening to me.
It is.
Yes. They have a lot of followers, and they have a lot of, like, power, like, surprising amount
of power. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have, like, their own private navy. They have, like, churches all over the world. They have millions and millions of members. They make tons of money.
They have people, like, everywhere, like, ready to pounce on you if you're doing something.
Ready to...
Like, it was wild, because sometimes in the documentary, they would, like, be doing something, right? And then, like, they'd walk outside, and, like, a minute later, like, a person would be like, "Why are you doing this? Blah, blah, blah." Like, a Scientologist, like, that was there to, like mess with them. And they, like, immediately pounced at them, like, a bunch of times. And it's like, how are they getting these people there so quickly to, like, you know, to, like, stir the shit up? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, how do they know?
Yeah, like... That's nuts. Like, it means A, that they have people, like, ready to go to, like, jump on anybody, and then B, they're, like, following people around and, like, monitoring them who they think is suspect. It's like they're, like, the FBI or something, you know? Like, they have, like, documents on people. It's nuts.
It's crazy,
it is. I don't know. Anyway, Scientology, I don't know. It's insane. I haven't seen that Going Clear documentary yet, but I really want to.
Yeah, there's another documentary called Going Clear where they interview ex-members and they kind of talk about all the weird and strange things they saw while they were members. And I rented it from the public library this week, kind of unrelated.
So you haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, okay, but I'm going to watch it.
Next week, let us know how it is. Because I really want to see it, I just don't, you know, it's not on Netflix, I would have to rent it or something, I don't know.
Check your public
library. Check your local library listings. We should do a sponsorship with local libraries. I just thought of
that. The public library is like my favorite place.
Yeah, yeah. You what is it, like 1996 over there in your head?
Yeah. I go like once
library.
A week.
Really? I haven't stepped foot in a public library since I was like 12.
You should give it a try.
Really?
There's something really, really cool about going through like DVD racks with like movies.
Can I just find all this stuff on the internet now, though?
Yes, but it's not fun if you do it.
Is it kind of like the Blockbuster experience, if you will?
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly like that.
I kind of miss Blockbuster in a weird way, because you remember Blockbuster, right?
Of course.
Like, yeah. Friday night, you know, like, what are we doing? Like, oh, let's rent a movie or a game. Go to Blockbuster, and you're there for like an hour looking.
Yeah, it's...
Looking for
going
something.
Going to Blockbuster is an experience on its
you're
own.
You're there an hour, like, looking for stuff. Like, I don't know what to rent. Let's find it. And you're just walking those halls, like, over and over again until you find that really bad movie that you're like, all right, Leprechaun 3 is what we're going with tonight, or whatever, right?
Yeah. It's between Leprechaun 3 and Sinister Snowman.
Right. And you're like, all right, I guess we'll do that. And you do it. And it's, like, fun, though. I don't know. There's something fun about that experience of selecting a movie.
Yeah, it's like the movies are cataloged in a non-intuitive way that's really hard to find what you want.
You have to parse like how they decided to categorize them.
It's like, well, let's see, this is in the 87 section of action.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Do you remember the lighting in Blockbuster? It's like the brightest lighting like in the world. It smells like butter. Like, and it's
everywhere.
Everything smells like butter, and it's like really bright, like butter and plastic, and it's super bright. It's like the aesthetic is something that can't be replicated. If you weren't,
and like,
yeah,
frequently there will be kids or something in Blockbuster, or someone will trip, and an entire movie shelf will
just
fall
over. Yeah,
yes.
And you're just like, oh, great. Yeah, I just like, I don't know, something nostalgic about that. Like, if you weren't around in the 90s or early 2000s. Like,
this probably sounds horrible.
This probably sounds awful, but it was awesome. I loved Blockbuster. I don't know why. I worked at Blockbuster for a little while. And like,
same.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I kind of miss it sometimes. We have like a video store here in Austin. It's like one of the very few video rental stores left, like in anywhere, I think. But it's cool, too. It's similar to Blockbuster, but it's more hipstery, right, than Blockbuster. Like, it's more of like a mom and pop thing, and it doesn't have like that butter and plastic and like super well lit thing that Blockbuster had going on. Yeah. You know,
Blockbuster was very corporate.
Yes, and their like rugs were like movie theater like style like rugs. Yeah. Do you remember that? Oh, good times.
Good times at Blockbuster.
Anyway. I have some weird news for us to share this episode. For me to share this episode.
Let's do it.
I have two good stories here. The first one is regarding our favorite fast food restaurant, McDonald's. Well, actually, our favorite fast food restaurant is Arby's, but McDonald's is a close second. Well, not really, but... So McDonald's introduced a new burger with what they call... millennials' favorite ingredient, like that's their words, not mine. They say we are making a burger with millennials' favorite ingredient, and so everyone on Twitter was wondering what millennials' favorite ingredient was. So I want to see if you can guess what McDonald's thinks the millennials' favorite ingredient is.
So they haven't said what the ingredient is at all. They're just leaving it at it's
the article,
millennials' favorite ingredient.
The article seems to have a hypothesis on what it is, but it could be something else too. It's hard to say.
It hasn't been public. It's not public knowledge,
it
though.
It doesn't
yet.
Seem like it, no.
Okay, so
what do you got?
Avocados.
That's my first thought, but that's not on the burger.
Okay.
What else?
Bacon.
No. Also not on the burger.
It's not millennial enough, you think?
I don't think bacon is like universal. You know what okay. I mean? Like everybody likes bacon. You don't have to be a millennial like bacon.
Right. The other thought I had was beard oil. Millennials love their beard oil.
The McDonald's beard oil burger.
Sounds like a good burger. I mean, it doesn't sound like a good burger, but
I hope that like they have like a logo for that, and it's like a burger, and it has like a mustache. It has like a handlebar mustache on it or something.
Yeah.
Right? And it's wearing like a fedora or something, like on the burger. The McDonald's beard oil burger. And it has like farm-raised sesame seeds or some sesame seed bun.
Yeah, the farm-raised sesame seeds.
I don't know how it works.
It's like the green pasture beef.
Right. They have all like every ingredient is like has like two adjectives and then the word. So it's like farm-raised sesame seed bun, green pasture beef.
Locally sourced salt.
Locally sourced salt. Non-GMO lettuce. Vine
gluten-free bun.
Vine-ripened tomato.
None of the words actually mean anything. It's like just words.
Cage-free bacon. Right?
Yeah.
Cage-free bacon.
Olive oil mayonnaise.
That's called aioli. Sorry. You said the wrong thing.
You don't want to call it aioli, though, because that sounds gross.
But aioli is good. It's very hipster. It's very millennial.
Aioli? You need something else. It can't just be plain aioli. You need to
herb garlic aioli.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. That's the winner right there. Herb garlic aioli. And all it is just mayonnaise with garlic in it.
Not even real garlic, like garlic salt.
Yes. And it's like herb garlic aioli. And
honey sriracha sauce.
Yes. Honey. Yes. Farm raised honey sriracha sauce.
Yes.
Locally sourced.
Locally sourced.
It's funny you should mention sriracha because that is on the burger.
Yeah, of course.
So it's the burger is called the McDonald's Signature Sriracha Sandwich. So there you go. Which the debate is whether sriracha is actually the millennial's favorite ingredient or not.
That would be really disappointing if that was what they can. I mean, because you just
so
like, I wouldn't advertise an entire burger based on just sriracha.
This article seems to think the ingredient that McDonald's is referring to is kale, because kale is on the burger.
Ew.
Yeah, I will tell you as a millennial. Kale is not my favorite ingredient. It's very far down the list of my favorite ingredients, actually. It's probably on the lowest level that I could possibly think of.
I mean, kale is fine in a salad.
I guess.
So, I'd rather have lettuce just about any...
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Anytime, me too. But yeah, it's a sriracha sandwich. Which is interesting, right? Because sriracha was all the rage, like, what, 3 years ago? When did the sriracha boom happen? You know, it's like 3 years ago, right?
I think it's like plateaued or is on its way down.
I think it's plateaued too, but like it was like 2 or 3 years ago. It was like it was the thing. It was hot stuff. See what it did there? Yeah, it was like the big thing like 2 or 3 years ago. And I remember everything was making. We got a sriracha burger. We got a sriracha hot dog, we got a sriracha sandwich, we got a sriracha infused cheese, you know, we got sriracha
potato chips. I've seen those.
Yeah, exactly. We got sriracha everything. And a lot of fast food places were making these things. And I feel like they're not making them as much anymore. So when you see a fast food restaurant embrace sriracha, I just kind of feel like okay, like you're a little behind the curve here, you know, like this was like,
yeah, like you missed that.
Yeah, you missed the boat on the sriracha thing. Like, this isn't 2014 anymore. Like, sriracha's still good, but like, you're not gonna convince me to taste your burger just because it has sriracha on it, you know. But whatever, I don't know. So, sriracha, I guess, is it's either sriracha or kale. Neither of which enticed me to have the burger in anyway.
Okay, you know what McDonald's had for a while that they discontinued that was the biggest mistake they've ever made?
What was that?
They used to have a good menu item, and it was their jalapeno burger.
What was that exactly?
It was just a regular McDonald's hamburger with fried jalapenos and like some kind of good mayonnaise.
I love fried jalapenos or grilled jalapenos. Yeah. Whatever. However,
It was actually delicious.
I love jalapenos. You can put that on any burger, and it'll make the burger better.
Yeah, they were fried though, like deep fried with.
Wow, that's something.
And it was great. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry they let it go. It's probably too hot for people. A lot of people don't like jalapenos because they're very hot, right? And if you put a lot on something, it'll be even hotter. So I bet people complained. It is what it is. Same thing happened to Chick-fil-A. They were testing like spicy chicken nuggets, and someone was like, "Oh, these are too hot," and they're like, "Okay, we're not gonna make them." It's like, God damn it! I was so close to having spicy chicken nuggets. Like my dream is to have spicy chicken nuggets, but I'm denied because someone in like Iowa or wherever their test market was thought they were too spicy. Ugh. Anyway, I have another news story. It's an animal this time. In Ethiopia, there is a man who lives in a village who goes to hyenas and whispers to them, and he's known as the Hyena Man, and he's a hyena whisperer. And he prevents hyenas from attacking his village.
So he sets off into the wilderness and he whispers to wild hyenas.
He does. He sure does. And he has a baby hyena in his house that he keeps in his bedroom, and it just lives with him. And yeah, there you go. And he's named some hyenas that he's come across. Their names are Dabaso, Harry, Toucan Dilly, Lazy, Koala, and Skinny.
I really like his hyena names. That's good. So there are like cool people like this in the world, right? There's some people who understand a certain animal so well that they can just be around that wild animal, like Steve Irwin with crocodiles.
Yeah, no, it's true.
He somehow like handled crocodiles for 10 hours every
day.
Yeah,
I don't really get it either.
30 years to die.
Yeah, like Steve Irwin is awesome. First of all, second of all, I don't know. Like, part of me, I kind of wonder how he lived as long as he did, because he did that all the time. But he was just really good at it, right? Really good. And at the end of the day, he didn't even die by a crocodile. He died by a stingray.
Yeah, it was a stingray.
So, like, if he didn't even touch stingrays, he probably would have lived, you know, very, very long. Because he just knew crocodiles, like the back of his hand.
Yeah, I don't think a crocodile would have ever gotten him.
No, I don't think so either. My question is, how do you start being the crocodile?
The hyena man?
Yeah, how do you begin the journey to be the hyena man or the crocodile
I feel
man.
Like there's a pretty steep learning curve.
I feel like as well, right?
I mean, you really just get one chance.
Like, if you screw up the first time, that's it. You're done.
Right? Hyenas have the strongest bite of any animal in the entire
world. Is that true?
World. That's true.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They can, like, break steel with their mouth.
Good lord. But yeah, like, how do you become the hyena man? It's like, all right, I'm going to go out and try practice on the hyenas. And it's like, well, good luck. And they're like, thanks. And, like, I guess he just gets lucky a lot.
And yeah, he just got it.
He had it. He did it the first time, I guess. He's like, it's okay, I'm your friend. This is similar to the James Bond question, right? Which is, maybe this is a question that no one else has asked themselves. Or, like, the hitman question. Like, so a hitman in movies, you know, they always get the hitman that has hitmanned, like, 80 people, right? It's like, I'm the best hitman ever, right?
Yeah.
And he has, like, 80 kills, confirmed kills. In order to get 80 confirmed kills, you have to kill 80 people. In order to kill 80 people, you have to kill your first person. And in order to kill your first person, you need to be locked in a battle to the death with another person and live, right?
And you need to win.
And you need to win. So it's like, how do you do that the first 10 times and, like, live, you know what I mean? Like, I can see once you reach like 10, you're like, okay, I've done this enough times, I can beat anyone, right? Like, once you get to the John Wick point, you're like, I'm good, like, I can kill anybody. But, like, to get to that point, you have to gamble your life every single time to, like, have the experience to do that, you know?
Yeah, and you know, like, a hitman is not, there aren't a lot of hitmen out there.
No, there are not.
I mean, so if one of them fails, that's probably a big blow to the hitman.
Yeah, that's like 10% of the hitman are just now gone. Like, that's it. Like, how do you learn to be a hitman? It's like, well, go kill that guy. It's like, what if he kills me? Well, then you're not a hitman anymore, are you?
Yep.
It's like, all right, that's it. Maybe the guy, like, if a hitman goes to kill somebody and they fail and that guy kills them, that guy becomes the new hitman.
Have you seen The Professional?
Yeah.
Leon The Professional. Yeah, I've seen that. So if that movie's to be believed, then hitmen take on young apprentices.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, train them.
And train them. And, like, walk them through their first couple ones.
Right. So they're, like, on the sidelines, like, watching or whatever.
Yeah.
Because,
hey, you got to use this rifle. You got to make sure to do it this way.
Like, watch me, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the only way it would work, right? Like, learn at a young age and, like, be able to have, like, a mentor that, like, walks you through it. Because otherwise, you're, like, you have no idea what you're doing in your first assignment. Like if I went up to, like, a mob boss and, like, hey, I'm a hitman. And they're like, do you have any experience? They're like, no, but I'm good at it. And they're like, all right, kill this guy for me.
Do you have any entry-level hitman positions?
Right, like, do you have any entry-level stuff? Like, a guy you just need to get killed? And like, sure, take this guy. And then I'll be like, all right, I'll go kill this guy. And then you're like, wait, how do I do that? I've never been a hitman before. Like, you have no experience. And you can't go to...
Do you have any documentation I can read?
You can't go to hitman school. There's no, like, booklet about how to be a hitman, you know?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, another thing about hitmen, too, is, I mean, that's not really a career switch.
No, you're, like, either you're a hitman or you're not a hitman.
Right? Yeah, and I think, like, at an old age, you don't just suddenly just, like, start to decide that you want to start killing people.
Like, I'm going
to
be, like, a hitman, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you're not a killer, then you don't just, like... become one.
Yeah, like, if you're not a hitman already, or if you're not a guy that kills people already, you're not just gonna become a hitman.
Yeah, that's a big barrier to entry on that career.
That would be a good movie, though, right? So, like, this is a great idea. So it's like a similar vein to, like, you know, like, people in their late 20s, early 30s usually have, like, career thing. They're like, oh, what am I doing with my career? I don't know where I'm going with my career. Like, what am I doing with my life? You know, they have like that quarter life crisis kind of thing. So the movie is that, right? This guy works at, like, Staples, or he works in an office, or, you know, he has, like, a boring desk job, like, just nothing. Maybe he works at a call center. That's perfect. Call center, perfect. Right? He's a call center guy. He's like tech support or something. And he's like, oh, my job's dead end, and I don't want to do this anymore. Like, what can I do? And he goes home. And he, like, watches, like, I don't know, name a Hitman movie, like Leon or...
The Professional.
Or, you know, John Wick or Hitman the movie. Yeah, there you go, Hitman the movie. Or whatever. And he's like, you know what, I could do that. You know, I could be a hitman. And so he, like, goes out, and he's a millennial, first of all. So he's, like, really good at, like, promoting himself... in ways that might not necessarily be true. Like, he fluffs up his resume a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, I did all this stuff. Like, he really didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Or, like, he played, like, a minor role, and he said he played, like, a major role.
Like, oh, I killed this guy. Or, like, I was there. Like, but he really didn't kill him. He, like...
Okay, so he works at a call center, right? Right. So, like, this is a bill-collecting call center.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe one of the people that they, you know, harass, the bill-collecting people, maybe one of them, like... died or something, like, committed suicide.
Yeah, like,
and he's like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, that was me or something. Or maybe the bill call center, the bill collector asked him to, like, go check on a guy, like, he's, like, a collection agent, and he, like, had to rough someone up once, and he's like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can be a hitman. And then so he starts promoting himself as a hitman, and he's looking for, like, entry-level hitman gigs. And, like, the movie's just about him getting his footing, like, as being a hitman. And maybe
maybe he can't find something at first, but like, through his search for hitman positions, he finds, like, a cheap, like, hitman school.
Oh yeah.
Like there's a hitman academy. Like, you know those,
like,
cheap
underground.
You know the, like, Sanford Online College, or those like diploma printing places.
Yes, it's like that.
It's like that, but the hitman version.
It's like $200 or something, and you just get
and, like, a six 2-hour seminars.
Yes, perfect, exactly.
Yeah,
and then he, like, has to, like, do his first assignment or something, and he's, like, really clumsy, and he, like, clumsies his way through it. Like, he he like Mr. Magoo's his way through his first kill, you know. But he does it, right? And then he finally gets more and more roles, and then, like, he becomes a real hitman. I don't know. I guess it'd be like a dark comedy. That's what I'm imagining for this movie, right?
Yeah,
it's very dark comedy. It'd be like Colin Farrell would be the guy. I don't know, somebody like that, you know. I guess he wouldn't work. He's too old now. You know what I mean, though. Somebody in that vein.
What about Kumail, the guy from Silicon Valley?
Kumail Nanjiani?
Wouldn't that be great?
he would be so good. Yes, this is the movie now. Yes,
Kumail Nanjiani. Like, he works at a call center.
Yes, oh my God, this is the best movie. Yes. Kumail Nanjiani is the hitman. He's... works in a call center. He's really annoyed with the way his life is going. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to be a hitman. And he just, like, Mr. Magoo's up, like, all the hitman jobs. And he just keeps succeeding accidentally.
Yeah, and you know, the funny part about him is, like, he's never a badass in any movie.
No.
And maybe by the end of the movie, like, he's just this really cool, badass, hard hitman.
But in the beginning, he's not at all. Like, he's just... yeah. This is it. I need to tweet Kumail Nanjiani and be like, we have the next project for you, Kumail. This is it. This is your movie here. I like this. Like, this, that is perfect. Mm-hmm. And he has, like, the perfect stupid sense of humor for this movie, too.
Yeah.
You know? Very, like, sarcastic, but also, like, self-deprecating, you know, kind of sense of humor.
Yeah, he does a lot of roles like this, and all, like, in Silicon Valley, this is, I mean, that's just, like, your average guy.
That's him. He's just your average guy. He's a little self-deprecating, and he wants to be a hitman. The end. You know, that's it. That's the movie. That's the movie. Yeah, Hitman. Hitman starring Kumail Nanjiani. In theaters soon. I want to see this movie really bad.
I would really love to see that.
I'm literally going to tweet him and be like, we have a great movie idea, Kumail. You're coming off The Big Sick, which is a big comedy hit, which is great film.
Oh, that was the romantic comedy with him. That was.
That's a really good movie. Oh, you should see that.
I want to see it,
It's super good. But, like, that's a romantic comedy. You know, it's like a feel-good movie. You know, like, what's the next career trajectory for him? Like, you've done your good, feel-good, When Harry Met Sally kind of movie. Like, everyone loved it. Time to do dark comedy now. Like, time to just hit it out of the park in that situation. People, you know. Then you're now the big comedian. You're the biggest comedian in the world now. You got that locked. You know? And he can prove he can write funny movies. So, boom. We got it. We've got it. We should be Kumail Nanjiani's agent.
We should.
This is it. This is the idea. Okay. We should probably do... questions now. We've spent enough time on fake movie ideas.
We got a listener.
We did do a listener question. Let's do it. Let's do the listener questions.
Okay. Someone asked. I forgot their username. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
A listener asks. Is suicide a matter to discussion or just respect?
It's dark.
So I think it's dark as heck. But I think what they're saying is this something you talk about or is this something that you don't talk about?
Suicide? Man, suicide's a depressing topic. I would say you can talk about suicide. Like, it's fine to talk about. Like, it's a thing that happens. I don't feel like there's many things that are actually taboo to talk about. I think you can talk about anything as long as you do it tactfully.
Yeah,
and respectfully to, like, somebody, to the person that's dead.
No, I mean, if you're, like, at the dinner table, maybe you probably that's not
bring up suicide. But, like, we can talk about suicide right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Suicide is interesting. This is going to get really depressing, and everyone's going to want to turn the podcast off.
Yes,
but suicide's interesting because, like, on one hand, you feel really bad for somebody that wants to commit suicide or has committed suicide because you know there's a mental health problem there. They need to get help. But on the other hand, you're like, you're kind of mad at them. You're like, why did you do that to yourself? Like, you're not, you know, like, if you just, you know, got help, you would have been okay, you know? So it's hard to talk about because everyone that I'm sure experiences it or, like, experiences someone that went through it probably feels, like, these mixed emotions toward the person because they're, like, sad but also angry, you know, at the same time.
Confused.
Yeah. And it's like, why? What, did I do something wrong? Did they do something wrong? Like, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone did anything wrong. At the end of the day, it's just, like, it's a mental health thing, and you need to be clued into people when they need help, you know, and
yes,
you'd be aware of that. All right, yeah. That's my two cents. I think it's important to talk about it because, I mean, yeah. Because
it happens.
If we don't talk about it, then people will keep committing suicide, and we don't want that to happen. So
yes. All right, so I can segue this into kind of a more positive
way. Can you? Yes. Let's try that.
So there's a Netflix comedy special out with Norm Macdonald right now. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix now, and it's one of the best stand-up sets I've ever seen.
Okay.
And Norm Macdonald, kind of known for taking these uncomfortable topics
and talking
about them and trying to make them funny.
Yeah.
And suicide is one of the topics.
Oh, God.
And Norm Macdonald makes suicide jokes.
Really?
And
do they work, though?
They're... If you like his humor, then yes.
In context of the comic. I have to watch the special now.
You should. It's great.
That's...
He talks about... All right, so some of the topics he talks about, you know, like suicide, medicating children, Hitler's dog.
Oh, yes. The best.
Like, all the best.
I love how somehow you're saying he makes these things funny, which don't sound funny at all. They sound depressing as all get out, but...
Yeah.
That's great.
No, it's Norm, though. He's great.
Respect for people who can somehow make jokes that, like, you don't hate them for, but also are, like, making jokes about topics that, like, people don't like to talk about, let alone make jokes about, right? Like, that's kind of crazy.
And you have to make jokes about them. Yeah. Someone has to.
No, it's true. You have to... Yeah. If something isn't being made a joke about, it's something wrong. All right, what else we got?
Are you guys handling the summer all right?
I'm handling the summer okay. It's really hot in Austin, Texas.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, I'm struggling with the summer. It's super hot here.
How hot is it there?
So, it's really hot, but about Florida is it's not just the heat.
It's humid.
There is just this oppressive humidity all the time.
It's like a blow dryer.
It feels... Yeah. No, it's...
It's actually not a blow dryer. It's like
if you haven't experienced it, if you haven't experienced it, there's no words. It's
I've experienced it plenty of times. It feels like you're getting smushed by like a wet pillow or something like
by
that.
By wet heat.
Or like a large hairy creature with a very warm tongue is like licking you.
Yeah.
That's my analogy.
And you can't escape.
You can't get away. The tongue is so big. That you can't leave.
And it's everywhere. It's in your car. It's in your job. It's
in your job.
Yeah.
It's in your house.
It's in your house.
In your backyard. It's in the parking lot. You can't escape. You're not allowed. But my summer's fine. It's just really hot. We don't have that dog-licking heat, though. We have hot, dry heat, which is also bad. Just different. So, other than that, I've had a good summer. Pretty good. It's just really hot. Yeah. Yep.
What are your game of the years so far?
No, it's easy. Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I think that's an easy answer for anyone who's played that
game. But you haven't played it yet because you don't have a Switch.
I haven't played it yet. I haven't played a game that was made this year.
Really?
This year, yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, you're just falling.
Playing old games.
You're more of that retro person, I guess. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes me a while to play
your backlog
a new
is
game.
Enormous. You're like, I need to play this and this, and then by the time you do play it, it's like 5 years have passed since the game was
released.
Yeah,
like, I could play this new game, or I could play this adventure game from the 90s.
Right. That I've never played before, yeah.
Yeah.
If you played Breath of the Wild, that'd be your game of the year, probably. Yeah. Well, maybe not.
I bet it would.
It's really good. Breath of the Wild's my number one. My number two is Cosmic Star Heroine. Call that out on the podcast, because not many people played that, but it's super good. Yeah.
That's on my backlog.
Go buy and play Cosmic Star Heroine. It's on sale, 30% off PSN right now. It's an RPG. If you like old RPGs, you should buy it because it's really fun and good. And it has a really good combat system. So that's that. All right. What you want to get into Reddit?
There was one more listener
question.
Oh,
there's another one. Okay, sorry. I didn't know there was another one.
Okay. Kingsman. Thoughts?
I've never seen the first one. The second one, the trailer looks fun. Have you seen the trailer for the new Kingsman?
So, is Kingsman's the movie?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the movie.
Okay, the first one's like a spy movie. I've never seen it. But I hear it's good. Second one, they had a trailer for it they released recently. And it looks very off-the-wall, action, adventure kind of movie, right? It looks very What's the word I'm looking for?
That's the one that it has like an Ocean's 11 kind of feel,
yes,
right?
Yes, kind of.
A lot of big actors.
But it's more off the wall than that.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of Tarantino-esque when he was in his like grindhouse kind of phase, if you will.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like kind of wild characters and stuff.
Yeah.
It looks good, I guess. I never saw the first one, so I'm not that excited. The reason I'm not going to see Kingsman 2, and this is very bad of me, but in the beginning of the movie, like, you know how they have, like, when you see a trailer, you have, like, the production company's names that come up before the trailer starts?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, Village Roadshow or whatever. Yeah. For Kingsman, the production one of the production company comes up, and it's, like, a colorblind test production company. Like, it's a colorblind thing. Mm-hmm. Like a colorblind test, and the production company name is written in the colorblind, in, like...
That's kind of mean.
And, like, I couldn't read it. I couldn't read anything it said, and I was like, I'm not seeing this movie. I just decided there and then.
Like,
I was like,
good job alienating part of your audience, like, I'm not production company.
Like, I didn't know if it was a production company or not. I thought it could have been like a plot point of the movie. Like, I don't know.
It was
know.
Just a circle.
It might have been. I don't know. Yeah. So, like, maybe it was just a circle. But I was just like, I can't read that. I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to see this movie. So
it made you mad. You were.
It made me that mad. It made me that mad. I saw the trailer. I was like, that trailer looks pretty good, but I'm not seeing a production company who's alienating me as a colorblind person. So I know that's really silly and stupid, but hey, I got to have a stance on something. So that's my stance.
I think it's a fine stance.
I like being colorblind sometimes because it lets me separate the wheat from the chaff sometimes, if you will.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's good. Being colorblind and having long hair. Both of those things allow me to know who my real friends are, you know, who are worth my time, I guess you could say.
Yeah. In a similar note, I'm growing a beard right now, and it's interesting when you go from not bearded to growing a beard, mm-hmm. and people start treating you different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so freaking...
It
like,
is
that
really
just,
weird.
That is weird.
It's super weird. Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that?
Don't treat me differently. Yeah, it's interesting. Like... Some people try to get away from that. Like, I don't want to look different because I want to be treated equally. But I am the opposite. Like, I want to look different because then I know the people that treat me differently when I look different are people I don't want to be friends with, period. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're not worth it. So I come at it from, like, the opposite approach.
Yeah, like aggressively pursue.
Like, I'll aggressively, like I'll meet someone and they don't know I have long hair because I'll have a hat on or I'll have short hair that time or something, yeah. Or I'll have no beard or whatever. And then I'll approach them later and they'll be like, whoa. And if they start treating me differently, I'm like, okay, I know you don't actually like me or you don't care.
I do the same thing. The thing that I do is if I'm meeting someone for the first time, mm-hmm. I purposely wear like the tackiest t-shirt I have. Like, just the worst shirt.
So, like, yeah. So they judge you immediately if they do.
Yeah.
And then you know right away.
Yeah, and I wait for it because you can tell the instant someone's like,
oh, you
like,
can definitely
oh,
tell.
Like, he's
oh,
wearing
look at
a shirt.
This guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so weird about that, but I'll like aggressively. Yeah, that's the best word. Like I'll aggressively seek
like,
out.
I bait for it.
I bait it too because I don't want. I don't want to waste my time with people that aren't going to accept me or anybody for the way they look or whatever. Like that's just not like people. I don't want to relate to people like that. They're not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like I'll aggressively. Block people like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I do it. I don't know. I feel like it probably has led me to have less acquaintances than other people, but mm-hmm. I don't give a damn about acquaintances anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so colorblind test in the movie. Don't do that. You're alienating me. I hate you for it. there's one time. Did I ever tell you this story? I was at a movie theater or something. There's a guy in a bathroom, and he had a shirt on. And the shirt had, like, a colorblind test, you know, the circle thing.
Yeah.
And it said something, and I couldn't read it. But my wife was, like, wasn't with me in the bathroom. But when the guy walked out, she saw his shirt. And after I came out, I was like, hey, did you see that guy with the colorblind shirt? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, what did it say? And she said, it said, fuck the colorblind.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, what? What?
That is terrible.
Why are you wearing this shirt? What is your... What's the point of that? Like, why? What did I do to you? I didn't do anything to this guy.
Do you know what's worse is you can't read it.
I can't even. I don't even know he's offending me. He's secretly offending me. That's basically terrible. Like being a secret like racist or something, or making like a secret like joke in detriment to somebody else, you know, like like behind their back, you know. That's the same like exact
everybody
thing.
Else can see it except for the person that you're.
It's like,
you're
oh, like you have a friend named Jerry or whatever, and you tell someone a joke about how dumb or stupid Jerry is, like, you know, behind his back. Like, that's mean. Like, don't do that. But people do that.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, what the hell? Like, who needs that? Yeah, that made
He was walking through the store one day, and then he was like, yep, that's the shirt
yep, I want. I want to advertise that to everyone I know.
That's like, the shirt for me.
Like, what the hell, dude? Like, come on. That's just stupid. Anyway, so I would have never known that that guy was an asshole, but now I do. So, anyway, if you hate colorblind people, that's fine. Just leave it to yourself. You don't have to tell me about it. I don't need to know about that. Because it offends me. All right, so what else? What Reddit
this is really funny.
Are we having now?
All right, we're coming up on 55 minutes. Let's begin with the Reddit
Oh my
segment.
God, this is like the longest episode ever. Reddit speed round, go! We've had a lot to talk
All
about
right.
this episode.
I'll go down the list. In Harry Potter, the love potion, Amortentia, smells different to each person according to what most attracts them.
Yeah.
What do you think it would smell like to you?
Ooh, I know exactly what it would smell like. It would smell like new paper with like ink on it.
That's great.
I've told you this before. I have a love of like fresh paper smell. It's like my most. I love it. It's just my favorite smell. If they made candles out of fresh paper smell, I would buy them. What is it for you?
Okay, so have you ever been in the laundry room for a person who smokes?
No. Maybe.
That smell.
What? What is that smell?
I don't know. It's like fresh laundry combined with like stale smoke. I know it sounds bad, but it sounds
That's
bad.
That's a very specific smell.
Well, so is ink on paper.
Okay, so this is like a love potion thing, right? Or no?
Yeah.
It is? So did you have like, did you like go out with somebody who smoked and then you were in their
frequently,
laundry
yeah.
room? And you were in their laundry room?
Yes.
So see, this is what it is for you. You're feeling like this, there's like this nostalgic emotion that you have, attachment
yeah.
to the smell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For me, it has nothing to do with love. I was just like the smell of paper.
So you didn't answer the question correctly.
I guess then. I didn't. I mean, no, I guess not. I don't know what the smell would be. I don't know. Love's potion smell for me. Maybe like vanilla. Yeah, vanilla. Because my wife uses like vanilla scented like body wash for a little while. So
okay.
She smells like vanilla. Boom. Vanilla.
That's probably better than my answer.
Yeah, your answer is weird. I mean, it's good. It's a good answer. It's weird, though. Yeah.
If you had to rob a bank with the last item you purchased online, what are you using to commit this ridiculous crime?
What did I buy last online?
Yes.
I bought the Blu-ray of Lawrence of Arabia. Because it was on sale for Prime Day, like half off, and I had never seen Lawrence of Arabia, and I was like, it's time to watch Lawrence of Arabia.
Did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet. It's like 3 hours long.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like 3 hours long. So I need to like carve out some time to see it. But you know, like you can't really rent those movies anymore. You either have to buy them or rent or like get them from the library or something.
Yeah, or go to the public library.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was like $7, and I was like, yeah, I'll buy it. Why not?
For sure.
So I bought it, and that's what I have to rob a bank.
So you're walking into the bank with your copy of Lawrence of Arabia on Blu-ray.
So I need to rob this bank, right?
How are you?
So my strategy is to be like, hey, have you all seen Lawrence of Arabia? At this point, at this point, I would have need to watch Lawrence of Arabia to get like a good, you know, figure out what it's all about.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, y'all, have you seen Lawrence of Arabia? You know, and some people maybe be like, no, I haven't. Or maybe some people would be like, have. And I'd be like, isn't it great? We should watch it right now together. And then wheel over the bank TV with the Blu-ray player. Pop in Lawrence, you know. Get everyone gathered around Lawrence, the enchanting movie that I'm sure it is.
Yeah, and then, it's a 3-hour film.
Yeah,
you've got some time.
They'll be busy, you know, with Peter O'Toole and What's the other guy in Lawrence of Arabia?
I don't know.
Alec Guinness, you know. They'll be enchanted. And meanwhile, I got 3 hours to rob the bank. Boom. The end.
That's an excellent purchase, actually. Just the length of the movie really sets you up for success.
Oh, yeah, I got 3 hours? I can do it easy. And everyone will be enraptured by Lawrence of Arabia. It'll be like the first time you watch like The Usual Suspects on TV. You're like, oh, I can't look away. I want to see what happens. You know, and like your life stops, you know, for the movie. You're like, I was going to go to the bank, but I can't now. Or bank is a bad example. I was going to go to the store, but I can't now. I have to watch the rest of this movie. It's going to be like that for them. They're like, well, I can't look away. I have to watch the movie. The trick is getting the tellers to watch it with you. But
I mean, it's a very epic movie, and movies like that aren't really made anymore, where there's just this huge scope of the story. It goes from, like, this time period to this time period.
You go on, like, an off day on the bank, you know, and so the people that are there, they don't want to be there, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, a free movie. And maybe you bring some popcorn, you know, some snacks, some refreshments.
Yeah, that's a
good
idea.
You're like, maybe you kind of pose as, like, a bank person. To be like, hey, loyal customers, we're so glad you're using Wells Fargo. Oh,
yeah, you go in as a maintenance man, and you're like, okay, we're going to need to close the bank, because I got to perform some maintenance.
No,
but
I was thinking more of like an outreach thing. Like, in honor of you being our customers, we have decided to provide you a movie viewing day for free at the bank. So while you're doing your banking, you can watch Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, you pretend to work at the bank, and you tell all the tellers, like, this is a company outreach policy.
And you make up,
a
fancy name for yourself, like, I'm Pablo, you know,
Lorendez,
and I'm the
Senior VP of Customer Relations.
Of Customer Relations for Wells Fargo, and we have a program. We're trying to reach out to our customers at this local branch. And they're great, and we're going to provide them a free movie viewing of Lawrence of Arabia, free with some popcorn, some snacks, some red vines, some Twizzlers for people who don't like red vines, you know, and you've got to gather around, turn the lights down, you know, maybe put it, maybe gather.
The lights need to go way down.
Way down, you know way down. I mean? Maybe gather them in that room that people, like, talk about their mortgage in, it's kind of larger room, and you just sit everyone up there, maybe provide some, like, blankets and pillows, and you're like, go nuts, you know, right? And then while they're busy, you rob the bank. That's it. That's how I robbed the bank with Lawrence of Arabia. It's my plan.
Well done.
What's your bank robbery? Top that.
I bought a book, so it wouldn't go as well. You can't, like, have a group reading a book at the same time. It really only works on the individual level. Like, you're not going to have, like, 10 people sharing a book.
Yeah, you don't have the Lawrence of Arabia. You don't have the star power of, like, a Blu-ray movie.
Yeah.
That's tough. I was going to say you could do, like, a reading of the book, but it really depends how interesting the book is.
So you could be like, hey, I'm Pablo Lorendez, and I'm Senior VP, and I'm going to read you this book.
And they're like, boo, we want Lawrence of Arabia!
Wait, no, that doesn't even work, because you can't rob the bank while you're reading the book.
But then the people, like, no, they're like, we heard the other branch got a movie day, and you're like, well, sorry. Like, we couldn't afford that at this point.
All we've got is a book. No, you have to, like, go up to the tellers and be like, listen, I'm going to need you to read this book.
And I need to go to the back and perform some routine maintenance.
Yeah.
You're going to need to open the vault so I can
get
it.
While you're reading the book.
This is the worst plan ever.
Yeah. It doesn't work at all, and I'm screwed.
I love that. I love this question, though. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
What's the worst episode of the best show?
Oh God, I don't know. That's a great question.
All right, this doesn't answer the question, but I have an answer that I want to say, even though it's not correct.
Go ahead.
So you know how in Star Trek, there's always, like, the gimmick episodes?
Yes, like the bad.
There's, like, the baseball episode.
The baseball. Yes.
In Deep Space Nine, exactly where they go on the holodeck, yep, and
they play baseball.
The episode is baseball.
They play baseball. Yes. That's like, that's it.
And that's the whole, they have to figure out how to shoehorn in like some kind of conflict.
Yep. To the, like, it's usually like, oh, two of the crew members aren't getting along or something.
No, like they're stuck in the holodeck and they're forced to play baseball somehow. I don't know how it actually happens.
You know, that's got to be like the show like running out of money. Like, what do we do? It's like, well, we don't have the budget to do like alien stuff, so we can just go to a baseball field and shoot. You know that? And like, all right, let's do it.
Or like in Battlestar Galactica, there's the boxing episode where they release tension by boxing with each other.
I remember that. It's like a fight club.
That's the whole episode.
Yeah, I remember. Man, that's weird.
I love those episodes.
They're so bad and good at the same time.
They're so good, though.
It's like either the writers ran out of ideas or like they have no budget. And they're like, well, we can play baseball. I'm like, all right, let's do that.
It's like, okay, we need to make the next episode with a $20 budget. Like, well, there's a park near the office. Where
and it's free. We can just go there. We just need to buy some baseball uniforms. Or
to Walmart.
Do they even wear uniforms in the baseball episode?
I think they do. Yeah. I think they have.
So go to Walmart and buy baseball uniforms. And there you go. You got your episode. Bam. All right, what else we got? How many questions do you have?
I have a bunch.
Because we are like, I don't know how, but we're like running out of time already.
Okay, do you want to start trivia
and we can see what we have left? Let's do the good questions. Like, do you have like really good ones? I want you to get through your really good ones.
People who play games on your phone at full volume in public transit.
Oh, that was the exact same one I got.
Why are you this way?
I want to piggyback on this question. Also, people who play games on their phone, but also people who play loud music on their phones, like without headphones. Like, what's the deal with these people?
Yeah, like, why are you doing that?
The music thing is almost worse because... Well, no, it's not. They're both equally bad. The music thing is almost worse in a way because it's like they know they're listening to the music and they're, like, forcing other people to listen to their music for some reason, and I don't really get it.
Yeah.
The games thing is, like, not forcing people to hear them playing game. It's more of them not giving a damn that they are, you know... playing games.
How do you just not care about something like that?
I could
never do that. I could never do it.
I don't know. I think the ones that play music on their phone, maybe they're approaching it kind of like a boombox. You know, like, oh, look at me, I'm listening to this. Doesn't everyone else want to listen to this? And it's like, no, we don't. But the game one, yeah, I don't know. I got no answer to that.
Yeah. I think it's like kind of similar to graffiti, isn't it?
Where
it's like, I have, you know, this stuff that I want people to just see, even if they don't want to.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to write on this building because I want people to experience this. And they kind of do music for the same way.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that...
No, that makes sense. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, like, I don't understand it. I'm just like...
Like, I really want people to listen to this or see this. It's like, okay. It's like, hey, it's in your face now. It's like, you can't not listen to it. It's like, okay.
I mean, you're going to have to. Like, it's the same for people who have those really, like, big car stereos that shake
it's
the
like,
whole
room. It's like, why does... You know, like, you can hear the music at regular volume. You don't need a giant stereo. I don't know. I think it's, like, partially a bragging thing. Like, look how loud I can play this, and also look what kind of music I like. Hey, look at me. You know, it's like, great. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never been that kind of person. I never will, so I'm not sure. It's tough. I don't know. All right, you have any other good ones?
You're the first person to set foot on Mars. What do you say as you're leaving the spaceship?
I mean, you could do the cliche. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Or you could say something else.
How about to infinity and beyond?
That is the perfect response right there.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I would say that too. Which would be great, because then... In the future, like 1,000 years from now, when they're talking about the first person to go on Mars, they'll be like, oh, he said to infinity and beyond. And they're like, wow, what an inspiring quote.
Why'd he say that? It's like, oh, there's this great movie.
No, I'm even thinking like they don't know about the movie. Like they just
think. Oh, like they think you said that on your own.
Saying that. It's like, wow, what a great quote.
I kind of want them to get the reference.
How brilliant. Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. But wouldn't it be weird if, like, we lost Toy Story, but, like, we remembered the historical record of that?
And then it could happen, yeah.
Yeah, and then we think, like, you know, whatever the guy's name is, first words on Mars were, like, his own invention, but in reality he's quoting Toy Story.
He's quoting a children's movie from the 1990s.
A great children's movie from the 1990s.
Yes.
That'd be funny. All right, you have any more, or do you want to just jump into trivia?
I think it's trivia
time. All right, let's do trivia. I have a really good trivia question for you today.
Okay, good.
Your categories today are food, geography, and sports. Your lifelines are 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 50-50, Monty Hall It, Phone a Friend, Ask a Rando, and Rhyme Time. What would you like?
Okay. 50-50, Monty Hall, and 5-second Google.
Wow. Not doing... Oh, you have 40-second Ask, too. I forgot about that.
I don't like Ask.
You've never tried it before. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't like new experiences so, when it comes to search engines.
That's fair. So you're doing 50-50 Monty Hall and what was the last one? Rhyme Time?
I'll do 5-second Google.
5-second Google. All right. Yeah. Your first category is food. What is the white part of the inside of an egg called? What is the white part of an inside of an egg called? Is it A, the antebellum? B, the albumen, C, the albedo, or D, the alameda?
Okay, 5-second Google.
Hold on, I have to get the timer out. I have to set the timer. It takes longer than 5 seconds to set the timer to 5 seconds.
For 5 seconds? Like that's like watching those 30-second ads for a 5-second YouTube video?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why can't I do this? Oh, what? Not working. Okay, you have to like set it and then reset it. What? Ah! Okay, I'm ready. You ready?
All right. Yes.
3, 2, 1. Google.
What is the white part of the egg called?
Beep beep. You're out of time. I hope you go with it. Hope you had an
albumen. Final answer.
Albumen, yes. Is correct. I'm sad you.
I did not know that. I thought it was called the egg white.
Well, it is called the egg white. I was hoping you wouldn't Google that because I thought all those answers were good sounding.
I would have never gotten that.
Correct. Obviously, it's not antebellum because that means before the war. But I just picked like fun A words. And yes. Albedo is like an alchemy term. And Alameda is a city in California.
Nice. You've got some really diverse answers I did. There.
I just looked at words, the long words with the letter A that started with the letter A. All right, your next category is geography. Okay. What is the name of the world's highest uninterrupted waterfall? And what country is it in? Is it Angel Falls in Venezuela? Is it the Peak of Cortez in Mexico? Is it Bartholomew's Falls in Spain, or is it the Adramado Drop in Iceland?
Okay. I'm going to go with Angel Falls in Venezuela, final answer.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that very quickly.
That's what I feel like it is.
May I ask why?
I feel like I've heard this somewhere.
Okay, sorry, final answer.
Yes.
Angel Falls in Venezuela is correct. Damn it, you're really rocking the trivia.
I know my waterfalls.
Damn it. You know, the other waterfalls that I have on here are all made up. I just made them up.
Oh, I thought they were real. No, okay, maybe not. I don't know my waterfalls.
Can I read them again? I'm proud of them. And it took me like 5 minutes to come up with them. The Peak of Cortez in Mexico. Bartholomew's Falls in Spain, and the Adramado Drop in Iceland. That's my favorite.
I like that you use kind of the indigenous sounding names for your waterfalls.
That's why I liked it too.
Like Bartholomew, that's
like the Peak of Cortez. Like what? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, Bartholomew in Spain, and Adramado Drop in Iceland, which is also my favorite one. I don't know where that term came from, but it just came to me. All right, are you ready for the last question? You're really blazing through this trivia. You're like, we're running out of time. I need to do trivia in like 5 seconds. Okay, your last category is sports, your favorite category. In hockey, what is known as a hat trick? Is it A? Do you know what a hat trick is? Maybe. Is it A, when the puck lands on top of a player's head? B, when a player scores 3 goals in a single game? C, when the goalie loses a tooth? D, when the magician in the halftime show is revealed to be Wayne Gretzky?
This is the best trivia question we've ever had.
What are you leaning toward?
It kind of sounds like when the puck lands on someone's head.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Like, because, I mean, it's like a hat.
I know. I agree with you there. I think you should go with that one.
You know what? I'm going to go with that one. Final answer.
Are you sure you want to go with A?
I'm certain. That's the one.
A, I'm sorry to tell you, is incorrect.
Well, it's what it should be.
What was your second guess?
3 in a game.
Yes, it is 3. So you knew that.
Yeah, I knew, but...
I feel like it should be the land on the head.
Sometimes you just have to pick the best answer.
I agree.
As opposed to the
right
one.
I respect you for that. I think it should be when it lands on their head. Like, why is it called the hat trick? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's like you, like, take your hat off and do, like, a... Well, I mean, they don't even wear hats. It literally makes zero sense.
No, they should call it, like, a triple or something, right? Like, oh, you got a triple. And then a hat trick is, like, when... What I imagine is, like, someone whacks the puck, and then, like, the goalie, like, his glove isn't far enough, so he, like, takes his helmet off, and he, like, catches the puck in his helmet.
And then he puts his helmet back on.
And then they're like, it's a hat trick! That's it! The goalie just got a hat trick. And then he, like, bows, and they pause the game.
Yeah.
And then, like,
There are a lot of weird sports terms regarding the three-point stuff. Like, in bowling, it's the turkey.
Doesn't
make any
sense. For three
strikes?
Yeah,
when you make 3 strikes in a row, it's a turkey.
That sounds bad.
I don't know if I want to make a turkey.
Like, it doesn't sound prestigious at all. Like, golf is much more prestigious, right? When you get, like you got a birdie and then an eagle.
Yeah.
And then a hole-in-one.
You go from a bird to an eagle. That's
great. Yeah, bird, eagle, hole-in-one. And then if you don't have an eagle, I think there's an albatross in there, too, somewhere. So birdie, eagle, albatross. Or birdie, albatross, eagle, hole-in-one. Like, the birds get more prestigious. Mm-hmm. You know, like, in bowling, you're 3 in a row.
You go from
turkey?
A strike, which is
cool. Sounds cool, to a turkey? Like, no. Turkey
like,
me.
I would rather have the beef
than
the turkey.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I would call maybe 1 strike is a turkey. Second strike is, like, a hawk. And then the third one is, like...
A falcon.
Exactly.
Not a turkey.
Not a turkey. Actually, eliminate turkey. 1 strike is, what's a good... A blue jay. There you go. Blue jay, hawk, falcon. That's the terms.
You could go... No, all right. So you know how they have cosmic bowling in bowling where it's like a rave, but it's bowling?
Yeah.
So maybe bowling should use, like, astronomical terms.
What do you mean?
Like a strike is like a planet, and then you have a solar system. Then you have a galaxy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Would that work?
I love it. No, I love it. This is good.
Yeah.
So, like...
That would be better.
Okay, so it's like universe is like the biggest one, then?
Yeah, that's if you do a strike every single turn for the whole game.
You've got the universe. And then galaxy is like 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's solar system thinking. Is 2 in a row. And then planet is 1. Right?
Yeah.
Planet, solar system, galaxy, universe.
And they're kind of globular, like a balloon.
No,
ball.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have the cool, like, animations that go with it when you do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Planet is like a planet racing around the sun.
Yeah. And then, like, what about a black hole?
Ooh, a black hole is like a gutter ball.
And they have an animation for that too.
Yeah.
See,
the
why
bowling
did...
ball gets sucked into the black
hole. Yeah. So why doesn't cosmic bowling use this?
They should.
Like, I feel like we're way more creative than all these people that do cosmic bowling. Like, come on. Like, why isn't there... I bet there's somebody out there that had these ideas. And the owner of Cosmic Bowling is like, nah. Too much.
You know, it would be really funny if you had... The animations that play when you get your various bowling...
Mm-hmm.
Point combinations if they had like a turkey in outer space. like that
space
is a funny
turkey
image.
space turkey. So like you get three strikes, you get a space turkey.
Yeah, I mean that would be cool.
Maybe it's all space animals for cosmic bowling. So like you got space chicken, space turkey, space hawk, space falcon.
Right? I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Do you want to do one last question before we sign off for the day?
Sure. Did you have any?
I have a really good one.
All right.
This is a life question. Okay.
All right.
This is a life question. So this person writes, so I have a magic question. So I'm an amateur magician, let's say better than most, just under professional. I'm unemployed, and I told my wife I could go downtown and hustle pretty hard and try to make money. I know maybe 10 amazing tricks that will blow your mind. Like, how the hell did he do that tricks? She's afraid that if I do them too much, I may get jumped. I live in a small town in Minnesota, and I'm 6'3". Personally, I'm not afraid of anyone. Is this a good idea or just a tiny pipe dream? I'm straight up talking, have a little sign that says, I will do magic for $10. Let's ask Reddit, I say so. Bam. How do you respond?
Yeah, maybe he could try outside of, like, you should try to do magic for inebriated people. So maybe like outside a bar. Yeah.
I like the bar idea.
Yeah, like, you know, some bars have like the hot dog stand outside.
Maybe you do like a trial run at a bar.
Well, I don't know if they'll let you do it in the bar.
Okay, so maybe you do the trial run outside of the bar.
Yeah.
Before you move on to like a really high traffic zone downtown.
Yeah, maybe there's like a club in his town, mm-hmm. And you know how there's always like a line to get in the club.
Yeah, you do magic.
You can do magic for people in the line.
Waiting in line. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would work. I mean, that's sort of like a young audience. They'll maybe be more receptive to magic.
I feel like $10 is way too expensive.
Yeah, that's a lot of magic that you better be getting for
like,
$10.
That's a lot of magic. I don't know.
Yeah, you should bring it down to maybe one.
Also, a lot of magicians that are doing street magic, they're not like charging you money. Like, oh, I'm not gonna like just sit there, wait for someone to pay him, and then do magic. Like, no.
Yeah, like you. You should tip them if you sit through their trick, but.
But you're not like charging them. Like the magician isn't sitting there doing nothing, and then someone gives him money. And he's like, okay, I'll do magic now. No, they're doing magic, and then after the trick is over, people are like, oh, that was good. Here's some money. You know, that's how it works generally. I feel like a charge per magic trick. You know, kind of business
that's
model.
That's not a very good business
model. It's untenable. I don't think that's going to work out for you, especially if it's $10. Right. That's my opinion, though. And then also, like, if you know 10 tricks, like, all the other people in the line are going to see your tricks. And so when they come up, you're going to be like, do a trick. Be like, well, I've used my 10 up already. You know, that's it. I don't know. Maybe you have to move.
I don't think you can charge $10. $10 is like a performance at a comedy club.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll do it like for free at bars, because the bar will charge like a $5 cover, and then like they'll have like a magician or like a musician or a comedian for like absolutely free other than the $5 cover charge, and like you have to compete with that if you're doing street magic, so you can't charge $10. That's not gonna work, you know. But I will say, if your dream is to do magic, chase that dream.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you've made the commitment to be better than most amateur magicians already, keep doing that.
Be the magician.
If that's what you like doing.
I wanted to be a magician for a little while as a kid. Did I ever tell you that?
I think everybody goes through a
magic phase.
Everybody goes through a magician phase.
Do they? Did you go through a magician phase?
No, I didn't. But
everyone goes through one, but not me. I'm too good for that.
I really like the idea of being a magician, but the process of becoming a magician seems...
It's hard, but you don't know...
Seems real hard.
As a kid, I didn't know it was hard. I was just like, I'll buy this magic thing, now I can do tricks, you know? And then later you realize, like, magic is not as simple as it seems. But yeah, I bought, like, the boxes and like the magic
sets, the nice set,
not the really nice ones, but like the, you know, the ones you'd get at like the book fair or whatever, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah,
like the $20 ones, and you can do, gives you all the fun tricks. My favorite one was the they had like a cup one, right? And you put this
where you
like,
put the balls in the cup.
Yeah,
not that one.
No, or? Not that one. That, oh, that's I had that one too. Yeah, that was another one. But the no, my favorite one was you get a cup, right? And they have like this plastic cup that you put inside another cup, but this cup has like a divot in the bottom. So it's like not shaped like an actual cup, like it has like a basically a divot in the bottom, so it like it's mm-hmm. like a W shaped, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And you put the cup in another cup, and the magic cup is white, so you can't really see it if you use a like a regular white cup. And then you fill mm-hmm. it with water, and then you can stick a pencil through it without the water leaking out, because you're sticking it through the bottom of the mm-hmm. divot. And the water is in the inner cup, if you will.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, people can't see that. Like, it's well hidden. It's like, oh! And I was like,
I thought it would leak.
It was really, it was a really dumb trick, but, like, when I was 10, I was like, that's amazing! You know? So, anyway. Magic. It's funny. I think I had, like, a name, too. I can't remember what it was, but I had, like, a magic
name. I wish you could remember what it was.
I could remember, too. I think it was the Magnificent something. Like, I don't know.
The Magnificent Magus.
Yeah, it was something stupid like that.
The
Magnificent Magnus or something like that. Something like that. It was Magnificent something. It might have been, like, my name in, like, a different language. Like Christo something or other, I don't know.
Oh, the Magnificent Monte Cristo.
Yes, I think that's what it was.
There's no way I just got that.
I think that's what it was. Yes, I didn't know what Monte Cristo was, but I was like, it has my name in it. That's my magic name. I'm pretty
sure
that's what
it was. Like Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes. That's what it was. That's what it was. That was my magic name. Oh, I can't believe you guessed that. This has been episode 43 of the Time Bat Show. I'm the Magnificent Monte Cristo.
And I am the Spectacular Svengali.
And this has been episode 43. Good night, everyone. Have a great night.